It is an organization that puts the science behind carbohydrate restriction at the forefront. And it was created and founded by Dr. Richard Feynman from SUNY Downstate in Brooklyn, New York. And he's doing a really great job. But I got to tell you, he wouldn't be doing as great a job if it wasn't for the second interview guest today. Her name is Laurie Cagnasola, and she is doing pretty much everything relating to the Nutrition and Metabolism Society. So I really look forward to letting you hear from Laurie Cagnasola. Welcome back to the Living La Vida Low Carb Show with Jimmy Moore. And today we have with us a lady by the name of Laurie Cagnasola. She is with the Nutrition and Metabolism Society. In fact, she's been the director of that group since 2004. And you might be like, the Nutrition and Metabolism Society. Man, that sounds familiar. Well, it should. I write about them all the time. They do great work. You might recall that Christine and I have attended a lot of their meetings, piggybacking on the ASBP, American Society of Bariatric Physicians meetings. Well, the Nutrition and Metabolism Society is a very important organization that you need to know about, which is why I wanted Laurie to come here today to talk about it. Laurie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Not everybody that gets into health comes at it from the low-carb perspective to begin with, and that certainly describes your story. Tell us your background about how you got involved with enjoying nutrition and health.
Okay. Well, this is probably not one that you hear every day, but somewhere back in the 90s, I decided to make a career change into the world of fitness. And at that time, I enrolled in a two-year program at a local college here in Manhattan and took a nutrition course that the teacher told us was the same course that she taught at another local university to the medical school students. Mm-hmm. She also told us at that time that it was the only nutrition course that medical school students had to take at that university. Mm-hmm. And so when I finished my fitness program, I thought that I had the same amount of knowledge as a doctor. Yep. And the sad part is that at that point, I probably did.
Yeah.
Right? So I went out and about running a fitness company of my own. And for years, a good part of my day was spent crucifying fat. I was getting all of my clients to, you know, cut down on their meat consumption and switch from butter to yogurt spread and fill their plates with whole grains and, you know, all of the things that you see every time you open up a magazine, a paper, turn on the news, you know, all the things that we know are right to do. And that's what I was doing for years. In fact, I lived at the time on 55th Street, just two blocks down from the Aptin Center. And when I saw Dr. Atkins walking down the street, which I did fairly often, I would cross the street. And that's a true story. I didn't even want to be on the same sidewalk as he was because I felt he was killing people.
Yeah.
And I was so upset by him.
Yeah.
So I did this for years. Okay? And then somewhere around, I don't know, 2003, I met a man by the name of Jeffrey Feynman. And Jeffrey Feynman is the chairman of the board of the Nutrition and Metabolism Society. And I had no idea at that time that he was. And one day he came to me and said, if you ever find yourself looking for a job, I'd like to speak with you. It's in the nutrition field. I think it'd be right up your alley. Now, he didn't know what my philosophy on nutrition was. All he knew was that I was in the fitness industry, had this company, and, you know, so on. So one day I called him up and I said, you know, talk to me. What is it that you were looking for? And he said that he didn't give me very many details, but he explained a very little bit about the job and then mentioned something about how his brother had a lot of research in the field of nutrition that needed to be delivered to the public. Mm-hmm. And it was being stonewalled by the powers that be. So I have no idea exactly who these powers were or specifically what type of research he was referring to, other than it was in the field of nutrition. And I agreed to meet with Dr. Feynman.
Dr. Richard Feynman.
So that would be Dr. Richard Feynman, the founder of the Nutrition and Metabolism Society. So the three of us went out for dinner. And I can't tell you the surprise that I experienced when they both ordered gigantic burgers covered in cheese with no bun. And I was there with my salad, no dressing, you know. And I just thought, am I on candid camera?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
You're getting punked.
Yeah, exactly. So during that dinner, Dr. Feynman proceeded to explain to me that bread and pasta are the enemy and carbs are killing people and that fat is good for you. And I couldn't wait to get out of there.
Mm.
I was just like, what have I gotten myself into? I need to leave this restaurant right now. So they could see probably, or, you know, by the look on my face, but this was not the job for me. And Jeffrey begged me to just go to work with Dr. Feynman for a couple of days over the course of several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the lab, see what he did, hear him out, and look at his research. So I did. And I've basically been angry ever since. you know, what I found out was that there was all this science that just wasn't accessible to the public. And it made sense to me, and I kept asking him questions, asking Dr. Feynman questions, and he had a valid answer for everything I asked him. And he was explaining the science to me. Now, this isn't something that, you know, the general public has access to.
Yeah.
They don't know what they don't know, and I know that because that was me.
Yeah.
You know, and so after I learned a little bit about it, more than, you know, I knew I couldn't understand all of the science at that point, but I was really angry. I mean, I basically saw this as a human rights violation, that we shouldn't be denied access to information just because large organizations say something different. And here he had all this information, and it was going nowhere. And I can't really get into the politics of it because that's too much of a story. But, you know, we had all this information that I didn't know existed, and that made me angry. And that's why I agreed to take this job.
Mm.
And so since then, you know, we're trying to spread the word and get this information out to the general public. We're doing a great job with, of course, your help and the help of other bloggers and authors. And, you know, we're really making headway now.
Yeah. Now, Laurie, I'm interested in your transformation of mind. It happened overnight, it sounds like.
No, it didn't happen overnight.
Okay.
I worked with Dr. Feynman over the course of several weeks, just a day here, a day there.
Okay.
And he explained all the science to me that wasn't published anywhere. Some of it was published in, you know, the journal that he created, the Journal of Nutrition and Metabolism, and, you know, several other journals. But for the most part, when you go to any medical journal, you're going to see paper after paper after paper that's touting the benefits of the low-fat diet.
Right.
And the general public really has no way of collecting information at this point, back in 2004. It was hard to find anything that talked about the benefits of a low-carb diet. Everywhere you looked, it was all low-carb is bad, low-fat is good.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so he explained that to, you know, he explained the science to me, and maybe that didn't make so much sense to me right away because for so many years it was ingrained in my head
right. That
this couldn't be possible.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. That's what I was getting
at,
is it seemed like once you had your eyes opened to the science, it was like, oh, well, duh, I need to be looking at it from this perspective. And that seemed to be an overnight shift in your thinking over the course of several weeks, not literally overnight, but it seemed like it happened fairly quickly.
Well, Dr. Feynman said something that I quote all the time. That was like my aha moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was asking for explanation on, well, if you're telling me this and you're showing me this research that says X, Y, and Z, then how is it that all these other low-fat studies are getting all the press? How is it that everybody, not just in America, but globally, believes that a low-fat diet is the way to go? How can you explain that to me? They can't all be wrong. And he explained, this was my aha moment. Mm-hmm. And I have this quoted on our website, on my emails, everywhere, because I hope that it'll be the aha moment for other people. He said, the deleterious effects of fat have been measured in the presence of high carbohydrate. A high-fat diet in the presence of high carbohydrate is different than a high-fat diet in the presence of low carbohydrate. And that was when the light bulb went off, and I said, oh, okay, all these thousands and thousands of studies that say low carb is dangerous is because they weren't really studying a low carb diet to begin with. Right. And all the ones that said fat is very dangerous, they were blaming the fat when they introduced it into a high-carb diet.
Right.
And people had negative results. And that was my aha moment. And truthfully, that didn't happen right away. I was already working here. And as I mentioned before, I was working here because I saw this as an ethical problem. You know, people were withholding information. I believe that everybody should have access to information, and that's why I took the job. And it wasn't until somewhere down the road that I had that aha moment, and that's when I realized and converted my own diet and so forth.
Well, you know, that's a rare quality with people working in the world of nutrition. It seems to be an us versus them, regardless of which side you're on. Very few people have an open mind, especially about the ethics of knowledge of what's going on. And it seems that your internal mechanism that said, hey, wait a minute, something's not right about this, kicked in. And that's definitely a rare quality in this field.
That's right. And, you know, what really drives me now that I'm in it is, you know, I didn't have any experience with diabetes either. Mm-hmm. I don't have it in my family. I don't really know too many. Well, now I know hundreds of people with diabetes, but at the time I took this job, it just wasn't a part of my world.
Yeah.
And what I did know about diabetes is that it's a disease of carbohydrate intolerance.
Yeah.
And I felt like, well, everybody knows that. And if you know, you are a person with diabetes, well, then of course you don't eat breads and cookies and cakes and pasta. And I just assumed that that was common knowledge.
Mm. Not even with the ADA.
Right. And it wasn't until I was working with the Nutrition and Metabolism Society that I saw that the ADA is actually promoting a high-carb diet for people with diabetes, and not right. just the ADA, but there's plenty of big governing organizations that do the same, and I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand it. And that was my biggest question. I would, you know, ask Dr. Feynman every single day, well, how can this be? How can this be? And he would just say, Lori, that's why we hired you. You know, but you know, you go to any diabetes website and you see low carb recipes, right? You see advertisements for glucometers, not for fat meters.
Right.
So they know, you know, you have the experts telling you that you have to count your carbohydrates. So they know this. Why then is it recommended by so many health professionals and organizations that people eat a high amount of carbohydrates when that's exactly what's hurting them? So that's something that's got me a little angry as well.
Yeah.
You know, if I had a child with diabetes and, God forbid, they lost a limb or, you know, harmed themselves by following a diet that was recommended by a health professional. And then I found out what I know now, I don't even know how I could live with that. And you know what, you can say, well, you can do your own research and take care of your own health and so on. But this information, until recently, isn't so readily available.
Yeah.
You know, the regular layperson that is not in this field at all, they think that they have a fairly decent knowledge of nutrition just by what they read and what they see on the news and so forth. They would have no way of really accessing the truth unless they did some really deep research and had access to medical journals that most people just don't. So they listen when their doctor says something, they believe it, and they go out and they do it, and they figure that they're getting worse because that's just the course of the disease. And it's not. And I've heard so many stories of people reversing symptoms. I mean, obviously, look at Dr. Bernstein. Look at all the symptoms he's reversed. And so many success stories from people with diabetes after adopting a low-carb lifestyle that it's I can't understand why that isn't the default diet, as Dr. Feynman always talks about.
Right.
You know, why isn't that the default diet, at least for people with diabetes? We believe it probably should be for everybody, but, you know, Dr. Feynman was invited to give a presentation last year at the European Association for the Study of Diabetes, EASD. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it was in Vienna, and he was leading the controversy session. Right. Now, this was a diabetes conference, and I believe there were in the neighborhood of 18,000 people that attended the entire thing, not his talk specifically, but it was a very big conference. And there was one nutrition segment, and that was his, and it was in the controversy, you know, agenda, right? And he made the point during that speech that there is absolutely no controversy in the science, and that, you know, scientists agree that they know that diabetes is a disease of carbohydrate intolerance, and the controversies are just on the politics. And, you know, the Nutrition and Metabolism Society really isn't interested in the politics. It's too big. It's too much. What we're interested in is just getting the word out to the general public so that people can be helped. You know, it's not a controversy. It shouldn't be a controversy.
Yeah.
And I know you know that.
Well, and what do you think is the issue then? Why is this information, Laurie, and give me your opinion about this, why do you think the information is being withheld from the public about carbohydrate restriction?
You know, that's anybody's guess, Jimmy. I mean, that's such a big question.
Is it money?
I don't think I'm qualified to answer that.
Sure.
I would say that money has a lot to do with it. You know, there's all kinds of industries that have a vested interest in not seeing low carb succeed.
Absolutely.
And it's not just diabetes, not by any means. But I think you could make a whole career out of just investigating the reasons why this is happening. So since, you know, we're a small organization and work mainly on with volunteers, we don't have that luxury. And the truth is, you know, I don't care. What I care about is that it gets reversed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a terrible thing that we need to get the word out on.
Well, let's tell people about your website. It's nmsociety.org, stands for Nutrition and Metabolism Society. And once people go there, we're actually going to have some updates to the website coming soon. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we are. Well, we have an actual NASA rocket scientist. Gary Noreen is developing a new website for us, and it's going to have all the bells and whistles of, you know, big, gigantic professional company, and we'll be able to, you know, share with the general public a lot more information. We'll have discussion boards, forums, and, you know, a lot more interaction. So we invite everybody to, we'll announce in our newsletter, of course, when we launch it, and hopefully Jimmy will announce it too.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, we'd like everybody to come and check it out. And even if you're not a low-carb advocate or don't understand, you know, the benefits of low-carb, this is the place to learn. We'll have all the research available, you know, where I was saying it used to be so hard to find this, and we're going to have it all together, you know, in one place. I mean, there are some sites out there that are doing it already, like Dr. Seuss Carbohydrates Can Kill, and we may just have a link right to his site because he's done such a great job. Yeah. But what we're going to just make sure that on our website people can get all the information that they need, ask all the questions, talk to other people that have experience, hear the success stories, answer any questions if something's not working. We have hundreds of doctors, researchers, and medical doctors that we have access to that can help people to better understand the benefits of carbohydrate restriction.
Right.
And that's all going to be available to them on our website.
Now, this sounds very expensive, Laurie. So if people want to join this effort, how do they join the Nutrition and Metabolism Society? Is this something that is just for doctors, or can consumers join as well?
No, it's for everybody, Jimmy. We'd like everybody to join. And we have a professional membership on our website. Mm-hmm. If you go to our website and there's a join button,
right,
you can click on that and it'll talk a little bit about the two different kinds of memberships, consumer and professional, which at this point, you know, we're going to be making a lot of changes there. But for $100, professionals can join and become a part of our, we have a professional chat forum, and that's a very active forum where doctors and medical doctors and researchers can get a lot of their questions answered by peers. And for $50, consumers can join. But, you know, we wouldn't turn anybody away, Jimmy. If people can't afford to spend $50, they can make any kind of donation they'd like and be a member of the Nutrition and Metabolism Society. We want to make sure that this information is accessible to everybody. So you know, nobody should worry about not being able to afford it. Just go to our website, join. We'll take you.
Well, and you know, I have thousands upon thousands of people that listen to this show every single week. And if every single person just gave $20, I mean, that would go such a long way to helping you guys really get the science in the forefront, which is what the Nutrition and Metabolism Society is all about. It's not about promoting any particular diet. It's about promoting the science, which then will lead people to the logical conclusion about which diet is best for them. Am I right about that's kind of the mission of what the Nutrition and Metabolism Society is all about?
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, we're also not opposed to everybody telling everybody that they know, you know, and we come across people who have had tremendous trouble, let's say, with diabetes or cardiovascular disease or obesity in their family, and they've seen, you know, the transformation of a family member, and they're willing to give a lot more money than the $100 membership. So we want everybody to just be telling everybody, and with that, we know that we'll get what we need to succeed.
Right. You've been listening to Laurie Cagnasola. She is the director of the Nutrition and Metabolism Society. Visit nmsociety.org and by all means join this very, very important organization that is helping to get the nutritional science truths out there and to provide you with resources so that you can be educated about the science supporting carbohydrate restriction. Well, Laurie, thank you so much for joining us here today on the Live and La Vida Low Carb Show.
Thank you, Jimmy Moore.
Visit our website at theliveinlowcarbshow.com and leave us your comments. Thank you for listening.
Disc of Light.